mind, my body, and my soul. And if it had not been for Jesus, I don't know where I would be. So many times I wanted to give up and call it quits, but you were right there.
Greetings, greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And today's recording date is Sunday, July the 31st, 2011. And we are yet looking at the whole of the scriptures as books of revelation. The whole of the scriptures are in reality books of revelation. And it, from Genesis to Revelation, we are looking at a prophetic window into current affairs and current events. And we want to hit a Sunday school lesson that we had in Judges chapter 7, in which we're looking at the Hebrew people. The Hebrew people, as we have said, after Moses delivered them from slavery, exploitation, colonialism, from the European invader Hyksos. Now, the Hebrews are in that area we call Israel, Palestine. And the job of the African Hebrews is to fight the oppressor, to stand against oppression, to stand against slavery, colonialism, exploitation, to fight the inhabitants. But as we have said, you must research the definition of these words in the original languages. Don't trust the English translation ever. You go to Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary and Lexicon on www.eliyah.com. You put that word in the search engine and you research the word for yourself. The word inhabitants does not mean what it means to us. It means everybody and anybody. So we just believe that the Hebrews was killing and slaughtering the people and destroying everybody. But that's a lie told by the empire, Roman Empire, British Empire, United States of North America Empire. These are the devils that gave us our English translation. So you have to research the definition in the original language. When you research that word inhabitants in the original language, you get the meaning of judges. Those who sit in rulership. So the job of the Hebrews was to fight the wicked ruling class and families of that day that had destroyed, raped, and killed, and plundered the masses of the people. And so every time those wicked ones would entice the African Hebrew Israelite nation into that system, say, come on and go with us and you'll have wealth and riches and whatnot. But the African Hebrews were to resist and to fight that system. But they found themselves enticed, falling in line with the mentality of the wicked ruling class and ruling families, thinking that they could get away with it. And for a time, they enjoyed hanging out with the oppressor, hanging out with the devils, hanging out with the ruling class and ruling families, raping and killing and plundering and oppressing people. But then your actions catch up with you, and what goes around comes around. And then the Hebrews found that they were oppressed, found that they were facing the boot of the Babylon system, found that they were facing destruction from the oppressor, because the oppressor only wanted to entice them away. The oppressor knew that the prophecies were that the Hebrews were to fight the oppressor. And so the oppressor used all manner of tactics to entice the African Hebrew Israelite nation, to take them off course from their duty and their mission. And after a time, the Hebrews would suffer oppression, suffer wicked, brutal oppression, be sold into slavery again, serve the oppressor, serve and be destroyed and whatnot. And then the children of Israel, the African Hebrew Israelite nation, would say, you know what? We're tired of being oppressed. We're tired of oppression. We're ready, Yahweh, to come back to our mission. When it says that they began to put away the idols, that means they put away covetousness. They put away theft of land, wealth, resources. They put away warfare and bloodshed and plunder. And when it says that the children of Israel began again to serve the Lord, L-O-R-D, all capitals, is Yahweh. Yahweh is the self-existent one. To exist means you have life. Yahweh is life. Yahweh encompasses life. Life and Yahweh are one. No life without father and mother. So Yahweh is the Almighty Father, Yahweh Ab, and the Almighty Mother, Yahweh M. You know her as the Holy Spirit. So when the African Hebrew Israelite nation began to serve Yahweh, that means they began to serve life. That means they began not to serve, to cease to serve the oppressor and the wicked ruling class and families. The children of Israel, the African Hebrew Israelite nation, began to cease to serve colonialism, slavery, exploitation. Began to serve Yahweh and serve life. So we're in this period in the chapter of chapter 7 of Judges, where now the deliverer is going to be Gideon. Gideon is the deliverer that will deliver the African Hebrew Israelite nation from the grip of the wicked ruling class of Midian, of the Midianites. Gideon is not fighting the common Midianite sisters and brothers. Gideon is raised to offer citizenship to the common people, but fight the oppressor class of the Midianites. And so Gideon was a fella that was very afraid, very fearful, because he had been oppressed all his life. I believe he was from the tribe of Benjamin. I believe now. I gotta look that up. But the tribe that he was from was considered the least of the tribes. And Gideon was considered the least in the tribe of the tribe that was considered the least of the tribes. And so Gideon was a very fearful fellow. And Gideon was threshing wheat. And in order to thresh wheat, separate wheat from chaff, you have to go on a hilltop, let the wind blow the chaff away, and you get the wheat and the barley and the grain and whatnot, and you can make bread and do what you need to do. But Gideon was so afraid of the oppressor. And think of today how the oppressor has us afraid. The black church is afraid of the ruling class and ruling families. That's why we say nothing when they go all over the earth using our beautiful black president to kill people in Libya, kill in Afghanistan, kill in Pakistan, because we're afraid. We're afraid to speak out. And it's so wicked, this fear. I heard one of my brothers say years ago, fear is shocking. And it is shocking when you look at our fearfulness. The preachers, the pastors pump fear into their membership so that the membership won't speak out on behalf of justice. And I face it all the time. I've had to overcome it myself, and I'm yet overcoming that spirit of fear that is actually pumped into us by our leaders. But it's the ruling class and ruling families that have pumped fear into our pastors and our preachers and our leaders through the assassination of our elders like Medgar Evers and Dr. King and Minister Malcolm. So the black church is afraid. Black preachers are afraid. The members of the black church are afraid, and we don't talk, we don't stand up. many of us, and most of us, and too many of us, because we're afraid. And so like Gideon, we do what we do in secret, in hiding. And so rather than be out in the open, Gideon was so afraid, he went down into the valley to thresh wheat. Well, there's no wind in the valley. He couldn't thresh the wheat like he separate the wheat from the chaff like he should have because of his fear. His fear was choking him. And fear is choking us. We have to step out and be unafraid. Remember Revelation 2 and 10, Jesus says, don't be afraid. Conquer fear. And so Gideon is raised up. A man who was fearful and afraid is raised up. A man who was considered nobody and nothing is raised up. And that is you, sisters and brothers. Many of us in this world are considered nothing. Many of us in this world are considered of no rank at all. Many of us in this world get no respect, whether you're a female or woman. Sometimes you get no respect. You're black, brown, or poor white, you get no respect. If you don't have some type of title, some type of credential, you get no respect. Well, you are the one that the Most High wants to use. You who are considered nothing. And black people of the Americas are considered absolutely nothing in this world. And the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, coming from Master Farad Muhammad, coming through Louis Farrakhan today, has taught us correctly that we, the black people of the Americas, the Caribbean, the Western Hemisphere, are considered nothing and nobody, and the Most High wants to use us to raise up all the other sisters and brothers that are considered nothing in this world so that we may understand who we are and get this job done of defeating the synagogue of Satan. So Gideon is used, and Gideon's name means feller. Fell a tree, to destroy, to cut asunder. And this is going to be interesting because we have to understand these things metaphorically. Let me see if I can call this up on the internet. Gideon. Chapter 7, verse what? Let's see. Chapter 7, verse 2, we see that Gideon's number in the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary is 1439. And it means hewer. To hew wood or to hew stone. Or to fall a tree. I have a Strong's Hebrew Greek book, and then I'm on the Strong's Hebrew Greek internet, and to hew, to cut out, okay? In the book it says, the feller, to fell a tree, to destroy, to cut asunder. So we're dealing with cut. So Gideon is called to destroy the wicked oppressive system, to deliver the African Hebrew Israelite nation, to cut the people out from being subservient to the wicked ruling class and ruling families, to cut asunder or to destroy the power of the wicked ruling class. And black people, that is your job. Black Christian, black church, that is your job. Christians of any color, Buddhists, Hindus, Hebrews, Jews, Muslims, that is all of our job. That is the job that we all are supposed to be doing together, organized together, and overcome the barriers of separation. So this brother Gideon, and he's dealing with the Midianites, but not the masses of the people. He's dealing with the ruling class and ruling families of Midian. And the word Midian in the African Hebrew language, let me see if I can get to the word Midian right quick and tell you the number. I can't, there it is. 4080. On the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary, it means strife. It means discord. It means contentious. It means quarrels. So Gideon is raised to fight a system that has caused us all to quarrel among each other, to have contentiousness, to be contentious with each other, a system that has sown discord and strife, caused bloodshed, caused distrust. We don't trust each other. We fight all the time. Families fighting each other, father fighting mother, mother fighting father, parents fighting children, children fighting the parents, black fighting the white, white fighting the black, the brown, the red, the yellow, Christians fighting Muslims, Jews fighting Hindus and Buddhists, atheists fighting everybody. So Gideon is raised to destroy all of that. We're getting rid of strife and discord among the oppressed. All of us are the oppressed. If you don't write the checks, if you don't write the Federal Reserve checks, if you don't write the International Monetary Fund checks, if you don't write the Wall Street checks, if you don't write the checks of the resource mineral corporations, then you're not the ruling class. Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Krishna, Christian, Jew, Hebrew, we're all the oppressed. Communist, atheist, we're all the oppressed. We must come together and overcome this strife, overcome this discord, overcome the quarrels that we have amongst each other. That's our job. And so, in verse 13, is that the one I want? Yes, verse 13. I want to talk about this vision and show the metaphorical, allegorical meaning of these scriptures. Verse 13, and when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian. This is such interesting scripture. And came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay alone. And so in this dream, this person is dreaming of Gideon, and he sees a cake of bread tumbled into the host of Midian. Now, bread is life. Let's just go ahead and go right into the meaning. Bread means life. This is metaphor. This is allegory. We said we're supposed to preach life. And the ruling class and ruling families of Midian are administrating death and destruction and quarrels and strife and so on. And so Gideon is preaching life and barley and bread, and cakes of barley and bread represent life. Barley, Sehorah, 8184 on the Hebrew side, Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary, barley, plant, meal or grain. That word for bread, 3899. Hebrew side, Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. Bread, food, grain, corn. All right. So, this bread, which represents Gideon, this corn, this food, which is life, which represents Gideon, tumbled into the host of Midian. Now, host, let me look at that word host. That word host is Makaneh. 4264 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary, and it means encampment, army, encampment. So you're dealing with an army here, and this army of Midian is constructed by the wicked ruling class and ruling families of Midian, and Gideon, represented by this cake of barley, is life to fight the host or the army of the ruling class and ruling families of Midian, who are sowing strife and discord and death and warfare and bloodshed. And it says it fell and overturned it, meaning it smote and fell it. It smote it that it fell and overturned it, meaning overturned the rulership of the ruling class and families of Midian, overturned strife, overturned quarrel, overturned contentious. That word smoke, 5221, to strike, to beat, to slay, to kill. And we're talking metaphor. All right, naka was the word in the African Hebrew, smoke, and that it failed, that it failed to cast down. So we're casting down. Nafal, 5307. We're casting down quarrels. We're casting down strife. We're casting down that which has divided us so that we may overturn this wicked system. And I'm going to go ahead and take this next break, and I will see you on the other side of the break. Greetings, greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information, and I'm having a wonderful, blessed time talking to you, my sisters and my brothers. Today's recording date is Sunday, July the 31st, 2011. And so, when you get to verse 14 of chapter 7 in Judges, it says, and his fellow answered and said, because we want to understand, how did Gideon fight the oppressor? We look at this as merely being physical, but the African Hebrew Israelites were masters. Being Africans, they were masters at metaphor and allegory and symbology, using all portions and parts of creation as symbols of the Most High and symbols of what we are supposed to be doing. And so, verse 14, chapter 7 of Judges, and his fellow answered and said, this is nothing save the sword of Gideon. The sword of Gideon. That word in the Hebrew is kerif, 2719, sword, knife, tools for cutting stone. The sword of Gideon is what this is. This is telling us that the cake and the barley is symbolic of the sword. That the life that proceeds from the cake and the barley is symbolic of the sword, or the sword is symbolic of the cake, the barley, the life, and so on. So are we talking about a real sword? No, we're talking metaphorically, that the sword and the cake and the barley and life are one. All right, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon. Now, we know that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that the tongue is like a sword. Look at your tongue. Stick your tongue out in the mirror. Look at it. It resembles a sword. It's pointed. It looks to have two sharpened edges. So that which was used by Gideon to fight the oppressor was the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. Gideon preached the word of life. The cake and the barley represent life. The ruling class and families of Midian represent death. And so Gideon represents life. And he's the son of Joash. And Joash, 3101, on the Hebrew side of the Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, means given by the Lord. And so Gideon was given to us by the Most High to destroy the wicked system. And also that name has to do with being reduced to ash. Jehovah fired, meaning fire, and reduced to ashes. And so Gideon, the son of Joash, a gift by the Lord, given to us by the Lord, to reduce to ashes a wicked, no good, rotten system. Now let us go with that as a backdrop to some current events and affairs. Sisters and brothers, today the house of Rothschilds are the Midianites, meaning the ruling class and ruling families of Midian, meaning they who have constructed a wicked system of strife and contentions, quarreling, discord, have everybody arguing and fighting against everybody else. But we're Gideon. We are the one who will cut that system asunder. We are the son of Joash. We are they who from Jehovah are a gift to the oppressed. And we will reduce to ashes this wicked system. You heard about the bombing in Oslo, Norway. You who have listened to this program understand that these are false flag operations constructed by the CIA to cause us to continue to buy into the fictitious narrative so that we may be used and maneuvered to fight, to quarrel, to sow discord, to sow strife, contentions, to fight and destroy those who are not our enemy. But the real enemy are the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the ruling class, the ruling families, the presidents and prime ministers who do their bidding, such as the Obama administration, such as Cameron of Britain, such as Sarkozy of Italy. They do the bidding of the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. The Netanyahu of Israel is one of those who does the bidding of the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party are controlled by the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. And look at how discord, contentions, strife, quarrels are used in the Republican and Democratic Party to cause us all to be confused so that they can destroy old people and take the wealth of old people, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. But getting back to this Oslo thing, this bombing, what's this fella name that they say? Anders Behring Breivik, the so-called lone assassin, who is charged with the killing that went down in Oslo. You had some children who are activists, who love the Palestinian people, who want to see the Palestinians have a state. And the Palestinian people are planning to go to the United Nations to curry favor so that they may create a state of their own, free from the wicked oppression of the state of Israel. And so this fella went to where these children were and supposedly fired off shots and killed a lot of them. Children, youth. But there were reports that there was a second shooter. The media is not talking about that. A second shooter. Because see, this is a false flag operation. This is a construct of the CIA. You see, the CIA has been in Oslo recruiting former police people into their NATO CIA type construct called the CIMAS, Surveillance Detection Unit. And so the CIA, NATO, have been in Oslo recruiting former police people into their paramilitary CIA type construct. And so they administer drills, and under the cover of drills, they administer this false flag operation. Because if you have a drill where people are shot and then you have the real thing happen, you can camouflage the real thing because you have been conducting drills. And in the drills, you have moles and you have technicians. The moles are they who answer directly to the ruling class and families, and the moles maneuver the drills. And then you have technicians. And the technicians are they who have the capacity to carry out the killing that is to go on when the drill is flipped live. And so there was a second shooter, and there were moles. The police didn't get to the area that was under attack for 90 minutes. They didn't use helicopters. You see, those in government who are the moles who answer to the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers constructed it in such a way that the children couldn't get help, that those who were suffering attack couldn't get help. And so this was a CIA operation, because Oslo wants the Palestinians to have a state, and the prime minister, or whatever his title is, wants the Palestinians to have a state. Also, another reason for this attack. Oslo had been, or Norway had been a participant. Oslo, Norway. Norway is the name of the nation. Oslo, the name of this city that was under attack. Norway was a participant in the NATO wicked, illegal, immoral killing going on in Libya, helping to try to assassinate Muammar Gaddafi. Proportionately flew more sorties, as they call it, than any other nation. But all of a sudden, within the last couple of weeks, Norway said, "We're pulling out." The prime minister said, "We're pulling out." Could this attack been a message to Norway that you don't leave, that you stay with NATO, that you stay killing and bombing in Libya? Because there's another nation, I think it's Dutch, another nation that is associated with the Dutch is also going to pull out of this illegal bombing of Gaddafi in Libya. So we see NATO is falling apart. This NATO alliance is falling apart. So when we see these things happen, we think double time. We think triple time. And we don't look so much at the one they present on TV, because check this out. At the same time, supposedly a Muslim was going to do some killing in Fort Hood. These are all CIA type situations. This person posing as a Muslim to push the buttons of Christians against Muslims, to cause quarrels and strife between Christians and Muslims, so that America can be justified in this war on terror, which is fictitious. It's a war of terror to terrorize the oppressed. But they use the fella in Oslo who's supposed to be a Christian. He has a 1,500-page manifesto, nothing but a CIA construct. And he says, this Norway dude, he says that Muslims are the problem. Islam is the problem. Islam is colonizing Europe. Islam is the threat. He also says that women are a threat. So you have religious quarrels, and you have gender quarrels and strife. Look at how the Midianites, look at how the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, who are the modern day rulers of the spiritual Midian, which is quarrels and strife, contentious warfare, bloodshed. Look at how they pushed the buttons. And so the same wicked ruling class had this fella at Fort Hood, so-called Muslim, a Caucasian fella, but he's so-called converted to Islam. And he, in trial, hollered out the name of Nidal Hassan. I believe that fella is the name of the fella a couple of years ago who shot up a bunch of those people at Fort Hood. Another drill flip live. Another CIA false flag operation. What is the purpose of this? To sow contention and discord between Christians and Muslims, between Americans and Africans and Middle East, and so on. To keep us spiraling down this chute of strife and quarrels and contentions. Why? So that they, the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers and all of their lackeys, sycophants, can take the wealth and the resources, move to this budget situation. Richard Wolff on Democracy Now! Talked about it. And my father has been putting in my head this concept that we, the people of America, own 75% of the debt of America. But we don't get 75% of the benefits of the wealth and the resources of America. The wealthy and the rich. I want to say rich. The wealthy, not the rich. Oprah's rich. She ain't wealthy. Oprah stopped working. Her money run out. Oprah's not wealthy. Oprah's rich. I'm talking about the wealthy. The Wall Street oligarchs and the corporate plutocrats, those who answer directly to the House of Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, they have taken 80, 90% of the wealth, 95% of the wealth. They have shifted the tax burden. And Richard Wolff talked about how every American citizen, for every dollar of taxes paid by the citizens of America, the poor people, the wealthy only pay 25 cents to every dollar paid by poor people and middle class people. That once again teaches us, like my earthly father said, Mr. Frazier said, we own 75% of the wealth, 75% of the deficit, 75% of the debt, D-E-B-T, 75% of the debt is owned by we, the masses, the poor, and the middle class. And for every dollar in taxes we pay, the wealthy only pay 25 cents, teaching us again that we own 75% of the debt, and we pay 75% of the taxes. But we don't get 75% of the benefits of the wealth and the resources generated through trade and commerce in America. And Richard Wolff also talked about, time is running out on me. He also talked about how, rather than go after the wealthy and take what belongs to the people, meaning the resources, you need revenue to continue to operate a nation, that revenue is locked in the hands of the wealthy ruling class and families. It's stolen wealth. We deserve to have access to that wealth. We own 75% of the debt, the masses of the people, the poor. We don't get 75% of the benefits. The wealthy only pay 25 cents on the dollar in taxes. So they have all the wealth. We need revenue to run a nation so that we may have Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, education, so on and so forth. Roads, constructs, whatnot, infrastructure, upkeep. We need revenue. So rather than just go to the wealthy and take back what's ours, the Federal Reserve, the United States Treasury, the president, the those that run the financial system go to the wealthy, meaning the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers and the ruling class, and borrow back what was stolen. And then pay the wealthy interest on what they borrow back of what is ours anyway. And then they have already agreed on the budget for the year. All of this is theater. All of this is camouflage and smokescreen. They've already agreed. When 2011 came in, they already agreed on the budget. They agreed on the expenditures. They agreed, meaning the Republicans and Democrats, the Obama administration, all of them agreed on the expenditures, the revenues, and so on. And so they get way down to now and act like they hadn't agreed on everything, and then put our old people on the chopping block as if it's the old people's fault that America is in debt. America is in debt because those who run the country choose to be in debt, choose to have the Federal Reserve and the United States Treasury under the control of the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. Choose to spend trillions of dollars on warfare and bloodshed and borrow money and pay interest to the wealthy on the money borrowed for welfare, for warfare and bloodshed, and say they have nothing for for welfare, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, rather than take the wealth back and administer it to the people equally, they borrow that money back. They borrow that wealth back and pay the wealthy interest. Just a whole wicked construct. So we are Gideon, and we are the Hebrew Israelites, and we are here to fight and destroy the power of the synagogue of Satan, to fight quarrels and contentious and discord and strife. Jah love, Jah bless. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people.